We're going to continue in general in the book of Acts and the church, how God established the church, what was happening, how God was working. And today we want to look at the Holy Spirit and the church. So last week was Pentecost Sunday. We spoke about that. And as we look at this together, we want to, as we're looking at how Jesus established the church through the Holy Spirit, and as we look back, we also want to look at ourselves as Lighthouse here this morning. What is God? What does God want to do with us also? What does God want to do in us? We are not interested in just a history lesson. History is interesting, but what we want to know is how does that apply to us? What does God want to do for us? What is God's pattern and plan for us as well? And God's very, very clear. So as we talk today about the Holy Spirit and the church, let's start in a slightly different way. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus was talking with his disciples. That's not up here. He was talking with his disciples, and he asks them, "Who do you say that I am?" Remember that? And so they are there. Some say this, some say this, some say this. And Jesus pins them down, and he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And I think that's one of the big questions for each one of us. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus in your life? Because that will make all of the difference. And so Jesus presses them again, and he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you." In other words, Peter wasn't smart enough to come up with that answer. But God gave him that, and it came by revelation. And then Jesus says, "I will build my church." And what we understand is that it's not that God, sorry, I know this sometimes steps on toes, but what we know is God did not build his eternal church on any earthly person, because we are fallible. We are imperfect. We are changeable. God built his church upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem for himself a people that were his very own, eager to do what is good. And the church that God built, it's built upon Jesus. It's always built upon Jesus. And Jesus says, "I will build my church." So we think about that. I will build my church. So how does Jesus build his church? How did Jesus build his church as we saw it in the book of Acts? How does Jesus continue building his church? Because the pattern of God is shown to us clearly in his word, and God doesn't change his pattern. God presents and God shows, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. And so Jesus said, "I will build my church." But the problem is, Jesus went back to heaven. So how was Jesus going to build his church? How is he going to build his church? He was going to build his church through God the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus was going to build his church. And that's why in the night before he's betrayed, Jesus talks with them so much about the Holy Spirit. "I'm going away, but the Holy Spirit is coming. He's coming. Another one," which means another one like me in character, in nature, in the same way that they understood and saw Jesus. The Holy Spirit would be the same in all of those ways. Plus, further, Jesus says, "You wait in Jerusalem. In a few days, the Father and I will send the Holy Spirit." This is the end of the Gospels and then the beginning of Acts. "And you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses." There is no way that the church of God will be built without the power of God. There is no way that the life God calls us to live can be lived in our own power or in our own ability. Our willpower, it's not strong enough. Some of us are very strong-willed, right? Are some of you very strong-willed? No? I definitely don't believe that. No, some of us have stronger will, some of us less or whatever. But as strong as we are, our willpower is not enough to live the life that God calls us to live, because it is a supernatural life, right? It is a beyond natural life. Sometimes we hear the word supernatural and we get a little bit woo, but supernatural just means beyond natural, right? It's beyond what we can do in and of ourselves. All the ways that God calls us to live and to be and to do and to be like Jesus is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit and the life of the Holy Spirit living in us. And so Jesus says, I will build my church. And then we begin to see in the book of Acts how he builds his church. Okay? And so we're going to go back over a little bit of familiar ground and then go on as well. We look at, again, at the first miracle. Remember what the first miracle of the early church, it's in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are on the way to the temple. They see the lame man. He has been lame from birth. And Peter and John look at him and they say, look at us. And they say, we don't have silver and gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What I want us to see is this, and I want to remind us of what Jesus told his disciples before before he was crucified and then before he returned to heaven. Remember this? Jesus says, when the counselor comes, counselor, helper, paraclete, advocate, strengthener, all of these things that are the Holy Spirit. When the counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. What is one of the marks of a Holy Spirit church, of a Holy Spirit empowered church? It is a church that lifts up Jesus. It is a church that exalts Jesus, because the work of the Holy Spirit, one of the primary works of the Holy Spirit when he comes and when he is working in our lives and when he's working in churches, is that he glorifies and he lifts up Jesus. We see Jesus. It's not about people. It's not about things. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus in all of his manifestation and all of his expression. So remember, this is what Jesus told them. He will testify about me. So when the Holy Spirit is at work in a church, when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, Jesus is highlighted. Jesus is made. What does it mean to glorify? Glorify, actually, it means to make big. That's one of the ways you can say it, right? He's lifted up. And so Jesus says, when he comes, he's going to speak about me. He's going to make me prominent. He's going to make me big. So Peter and John, what do they say? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what does he say? They say, rise up and walk. So here we see Peter and John, and it's this incredible miracle. We know that there are other miracles and signs happening, right? But this is the one that's highlighted, and it's in great, great detail. It's almost two chapters, right? And if you read it, go back and read it on your own, you'll see, if you go through chapters 3 and 4, you will see it is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Is there a great miracle in all of that? Yes, there is. There's a great miracle. Praise God for miracles. Praise God for the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit. But chapters 3 and 4 really lift up the name of Jesus. So the miracle draws the crowd. People come running. Look at this. The crowd comes running, and it says that Peter and John look, and they see the crowd has come. And then what do Peter and John, actually this is Peter that's quoted. Peter says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. What I love about this is, although there is a miracle, although there is a sign and a wonder, Peter doesn't get so excited about the sign and the wonder, but we pray for this. We pray for the move and the work of God. What does Peter do? Peter lifts up Jesus, right? What does he say? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus who did this. When people look at your life and when people look at my life and they see something different and they see something that, how could that be? It should be like this, but your heart is peaceful, right? You should be angry, but instead you are forgiving. You could be this way and getting revenge, but no, you're showing love and you're giving grace. That draws people's attention, right? Why are you that way? Why are you different? That gets their attention. And then we lift up Jesus, right? We lift up Jesus. That's the way that the Holy Spirit works. That's the way that he builds his church. So we see this in this miracle. We're not going to take a lot longer on this, but he preaches to the crowd. Okay, have you noticed this before? We go a little bit further, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees get really angry that they're preaching because they're preaching about Jesus, and they arrest Peter and John, and they throw them in the public, in the city jail, right? But look at the very next verse, Acts 4:4. What does it say? But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. So that means there were 3,000 the day of Pentecost, so 2,000 men more who were added, and then you add to that women and children as well. So it's many, many more. Okay, look carefully at this. The miracle gets their attention. The power of God at work in this miraculous healing draws people. But what opens their hearts? The people who heard their message believed, and the number grew. God is always at work. God is always at work in these ways. So we go a little bit further. They are arrested, and then they're brought before the high priest, the teachers of the law. Take a look at this really quickly. Caiaphas, John, Alexander, the other men of the high priest family. Why are these people, verse 6, why are these people notorious? I'm using the word specifically. Verse 6, why are they notorious? Why? They're the ones who are at the forefront of having Jesus crucified, right? At the forefront. These are the ones who said, let him die. These are the ones who have him arrested. And Peter and John come before them. And they ask this wonderful question. By what power or what name did you do this? They know that a miracle has happened. Okay, how does the Holy Spirit build the church? The Holy Spirit and the church. What do we see here? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you see this morning? Don't relegate. Relegate's not the right word. Don't limit the work of the Holy Spirit to unexplained things, to all of these things. The Holy Spirit can do that. But look at how we see the Holy Spirit working here. Peter is standing before a hostile crowd, and then Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does what? Gives him wisdom and boldness to preach and to speak the word of God. That's what you and I need as well when we're around people, right? I can say all sorts of things. I can say this and I can say that. But when the Holy Spirit fills me and I speak through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am speaking what God wants me to say. I am speaking with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not because of me, but because of the Holy Spirit. This morning as I was driving to church, you know that I always use that as prayer time as I'm coming in. And as I was driving in, I was praying, and I'd prepared, I'd studied, I'd gotten everything ready, I'd done my part. But one of the things I was praying was, Lord, would you take this and by your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts today? Because it's the Holy Spirit that touches our hearts, right? It's the Holy Spirit. And so Peter's filled with the Spirit, and he speaks this really strong word under the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses. Here is the perfect example. Remember what Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will speak of me. When the Holy Spirit comes, he speaks of Jesus in our lives and through our lives. And he highlights, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. And then he goes a little bit further. He really brings it home. And he said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. This is how the Holy Spirit builds the church. This is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit works. So we know what happens. We know that they threaten them. It seems that they don't respond. It seems that they reject the message. But what happens next? Peter and John go back to their people, and then they begin to pray. So this is the Holy Spirit in the church. We've seen the Holy Spirit at work in opposition. They go back. They start praying. We've looked at this prayer before, and they ask for something very specific. They say, stretch out your hand with healing power. Give us boldness in preaching your word. Do all of these things through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. When you and I make sure that Jesus is lifted up in our lives and is seen in our lives, he will do his work. He will do his work. Amen. And then verse 31. So after this prayer, the meeting place shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice that here they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't say, Luke doesn't say a lot about other details. But what does he say? What does he say? Then they preached the word of God with boldness. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does when he's at work in his church is he helps us pray and he answers prayers in our lives, right? This is what they ask for. God, help us. Help us to do this. Because the Holy Spirit in us, what does Romans 8 say? The Spirit knows the mind of the Father. And when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us pray. And when the Holy Spirit helps us pray, he prays a perfect prayer. Perfect prayer, always. Perfect prayer. And as he prays the perfect prayer, then the Holy Spirit works, and he works to answer the prayers that he has put in our heart as we lift them to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is what I want for us. Honestly, it'd be exciting if the church shook, right? Y'all don't think I'm weird. You know what I'd rather have than that? Because after the church shakes, we just go out and we eat our pizza or eat our noodles, right? But when we preach the word of God with boldness as we go out, things happen and things change. Amen? Amen. Amen. This is what we look for. This is what we want. Now we go just a little bit further. Look at what happens next. And we want to talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit working in the church, because it's the Holy Spirit in the church. Now it describes what's going on in the church. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. The Holy Spirit and the church. When the Holy Spirit is working among us and in us, he will work to bring unity of heart and mind. It doesn't mean that you think exactly the same way I think. It doesn't mean that we have the same character. It doesn't mean that we express ourselves in the same way. But it means... in our deepest part, we are in unity. I'm not pulling my way away from you. You're not pulling your way for what you want. We are together. We are together. We're united. And we are pulling towards the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I think sometimes these days we're very independent, aren't we? We're really, in general, we're really independent. I'm like this. I want to do my thing. I want to do it my way. I don't really like this. And so anyhow, I think that's something that we're very much this way. If we look at the early church, we see the Holy Spirit absolutely works counter to that attitude. Absolutely. Absolutely. The Holy Spirit is opposed. He's opposed to that way of thinking. He's opposed to that way of acting. He's opposed to that spirit in us that I want my way. I don't care if you don't like it or not. I want my way. I want to do what I want to do. I want it to be, I want it to suit me. I'm not going to go any further on that one. But that's the way we so often are. The Holy Spirit in His church works to bring us together. He works to bring us together. He doesn't work to make us like one another. He works to make us like Jesus, right? He works to make us like Jesus. And He works to make us full of love and full of grace for people who are very different from us, right? Look around Lighthouse for just a minute. How different are we? We've got every color here. I suspect I am the whitest person in this church. I wish I weren't, but I am. I always wanted to tan when I was younger. And I'd sit in the sun and I would just burn. And my mother would scold me outwardly. So we've got all of these different colors. But those are outward. We've got all these different personalities. We've all got different, most of us have different church backgrounds too, don't we? I like it this way. We have certain preferences for, I like this music. Well, I don't like that music. I prefer this music instead. Well, I'd like it this way. Well, I'd like it that way. What do we do about that? The Holy Spirit works to bring us in unity. And when we look at the book of Acts, we see that the Holy Spirit in His church, one of the outflows of the Holy Spirit is that in His church, there's harmony. There's unity. There's not division. There's not division. Take a look at this. So the Holy Spirit and the church, they shared everything that they have. And then look at verse 33, because we're talking about the Holy Spirit in the church and equipping. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Now, we kind of overlook this a little bit, and we look at the great power of the apostles. The Holy Spirit does equip His church, okay? The Holy Spirit does empower His church. But please don't miss the less spectacular work of the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit work with great power? Yes, He does. And we long for that. We long for that. But don't miss that one of the works of the Holy Spirit in His church is to bring a one heart and a one mind, so that what happens with you, I care about. What happens with me, you care about. I don't do anything that divides. Let me just put it that way. I don't do anything that divides. My actions and my words. When the Holy Spirit, listen carefully, when the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart and in your life, He is going to work to bring unity. He's going to work to bring unity. I want to ask you something this morning. In that area, is the Holy Spirit doing that? Are you letting Him do that in your life and in your conversation and in your attitude and in your actions? Are you working for unity? Are you working towards togetherness, even among people who are very different? That's one of the works of the Holy Spirit. So they were one heart and mind, and this is said several times in the book of Acts. And then look at this last part. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord. And then look at this very last phrase. I love this last phrase. I don't know if you've paid attention to it before. And much grace was upon them all. Much grace. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. How many of you would like much grace upon your life? Yes? Yes? Me too. I need that. I need that. Look at this again, just a minute. You know how we talk about words sometimes. This word, great power, the Greek word for great, here is the same word when we say the word mega, right? Mega means really big, really big. So great power in Greek, great is mega. Power is the dunamis. That's the dynamite power, the miracle power, right? Okay, so that's that great power. But guess what? If you look right down here where it says much grace, guess what? The word much is the same word as great. It's the same word. It's mega. Mega grace was upon them all. So when the Holy Spirit is working in his church, how he builds his church, he wants and he works towards much grace, mega grace upon your life. Let me ask you something. If you had mega grace upon your life and in your life right now, what would be different? What would be different? A lot, right? A lot. Now you all are in awkward silence because you think I'm judging you. I'm thinking about me as well. Much grace was upon them all. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. When I have much grace, may I just put it this way? Here's one of the ways. When I have much grace upon my life, I can bear many things, right? I can bear many things. I can endure many things. I can give love. I can do all of things, and so can you, when much grace is upon my life. Now, what happens after this? So this is the work of the Holy Spirit at work. We're going to move forward a little bit. This is still the Holy Spirit in the church. Looking at the time. Oh, we have lots of time. We're not even halfway yet. If you look at what happens next, there is the example of the great son of encouragement. Who? Barnabas, right? This Barnabas whom we love. And because much grace is upon him, Barnabas sells land and he brings it to the apostles and he puts it at their feet so that they can use the proceeds to meet the needs of the people. And here's a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas doesn't say, it's mine, it's mine. They can take care of themselves. I want what I want. I've got what I want. Instead, Barnabas is touched by the Holy Spirit, and he easily and happily gives this gift to God, and it goes to the church. So that's Barnabas. And then comes Ananias and Sapphira, right after that, right? And Ananias and Sapphira do almost the same thing, but their hearts are different because they're deceptive, right? They're deceptive. And they give, but they don't give all. Maybe we'll talk about this at another time, but very often in the church of God, we see the honor that others have or the acknowledgement that others have because of the sacrifice they have made. And we want the honor and the acknowledgement. The question is, are we also willing to sacrifice in the same way? Yeah, are we willing? Because the two always go together. So Ananias and Sapphira wanted what they saw that Barnabas had, but they were not willing to do what Barnabas had done. That's an easy way to look at it. And the Holy Spirit does something about it, right? Now, let's go forward. I wanted to talk about that more, but I thought, no, I want to go on. Let's move forward a little bit. Now look at Acts 6:1. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and the church. And now we come up to something that is a danger to the church, okay? Here's a danger to the church. As the Holy Spirit has been working, there's unity, there's love, there's care, there is sharing. The church was actually quite different. There were a lot of different people in the church, but they were all together. And then some time passes and a problem arises in the church. Let's look at it and then let's talk about it. in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, so there are thousands and thousands and thousands now, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Okay, so here's this one verse, and there's a whole bunch of background in this. So who are these two different groups? Are they all Jews? Yes, they're all Jews. Who are the Grecian Jews and who are the Hebraic Jews? The Hebraic Jews are those that have been in Jerusalem. They are those who have been in Judea. They are people who have all, they are the Jews who have always lived there. The Grecian Jews are those who have lived around the Mediterranean, around the Roman world, and then they have moved back to Jerusalem, right? According to their custom and their tradition, they wanted, when they got old, they wanted to die in Judea or in Jerusalem. They didn't want to be in some strange land, some foreign country. And so as they aged, they would return to Jerusalem and Judea, and they would live there. Well, what would happen? They would die. That's what happens when we get old, really old, right? And then the widows, very often the husband would die first. The widows would be there. They were part of the church, but they had no income. They had no job. And the church took it very seriously. We have to take care of them, right? What are they going to do? How are they going to eat? How are they going to live? And so part of the work of the church was to feed the widows that were part of the church. So look at what happens. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, here's one group, the Grecian Jews. What do they say? We're being overlooked. What does that mean? They got a big piece of pizza. I got a small piece of pizza. Or they got a big piece of chicken and I just got a chicken wing. That's all I got. Maybe let's put it, I don't know. But what it meant was, what they felt was, we are being discriminated against, right? That's what it meant. That's what it meant. We are being discriminated against. Okay, question. Were they being discriminated against? Yes or no? We don't really know. There are different Bible translations. Some Bible translations say that they were being overlooked. Other Bible translations say they complained that they were being overlooked. That's two different things. So the point is, whether they were, if they were being overlooked, that was a problem. If they felt they were being overlooked, that was still a problem, right? Either way, it's a problem in the church. It's a problem for two reasons. They're not getting enough food. It's a problem for another reason. The unity of the church, the work of the Holy Spirit is in danger of being disrupted, because the Holy Spirit works to bring unity. The Holy Spirit works to bring a spirit of love and a spirit of harmony. How many of you have found out that when you are a little bit out of sorts with God, right? You've been real busy. You've been this way and that way. You've been a little bit out of sorts with God, that it is very easy for you to be out of sorts with people. Yes or no? Thank you. Some of you won't look at me now. You've got your heads down. But it's true. It's true. It's true for everybody. It's true for everybody. One of the works of the Holy Spirit in us is to bring a spirit of unity and of love and of acceptance. And so here's this problem that arises. And they complain, we are being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Okay, some of you are wondering, now why is this important and how is this the work of the Holy Spirit? We're going to see really quickly. Okay. So the 12 disciples, they gathered every apostles, they gathered everybody together, and they said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Okay, stop right here just a minute. Does this mean that the apostles are too good to wait on tables because they're the apostles? Is that what that means? No, it's not what it means at all. What are the apostles called to do? They're called to pray, and they're called to preach the word. That's what they're called to do. When we do what God has called us to do, he equips us to do what he's called us to do. He gives us grace to do what he's called us to do. When we are out of the purpose of God, then things don't work as they should. And so the disciples say, yes, there's a problem, But we need to keep doing what God has called us to do. So here's their solution, and I want us to see how the Holy Spirit is at work. Ready? Let's look at it. They say to all the people, this is thousands of people, they say, brothers and sisters, okay, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Look at this, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. I want you to look at something here. The work that these 7 men are going to do is literally they're going to wait on tables. They're going to receive offerings, and they're going to buy groceries. They're going to literally, they're going to do, it's basic work. It's the work that deacons would do. It would be very similar to, those of you who come in or at the end of Sundays and you're cleaning the church, or you're upstairs and you're cooking food for everybody whenever we have a potluck, right? It's all of that area. But what do the 12 apostles say? They say the people that are going to handle this have to be full of the Spirit. They've got to be full of the Spirit. Why? Because God's work requires Spirit filling. God's work requires Spirit empowering. God's work requires wisdom. All of these things require the work of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's God's work, and because you're working with God's people. Always, always. It's not, oh, anybody can do it. It doesn't matter. It matters to God. And because it matters to God, it should matter to us as well. And so they say, you choose people who are full of the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit will lead them. If there's something going on wrong, the Spirit will show them what is wrong. How do we know that? Because one chapter earlier, the Spirit told Peter, Ananias and Sapphira are lying, and they both died. The Spirit knows what's going on. The Spirit knows what's going on. Anyhow, very, very, very often, not very often, all along, as I'm praying for the church, as I'm praying about situations, everything will look fine from what I can see, but in my heart, there will be an uneasiness. Something's not right. Something's going on. I don't always know what it is, but the Spirit knows. The Spirit knows. And so I pray, and I pray. And so should you. How many of you have ever felt in church or in relationships or in other things, in your heart, there was an uneasiness, right? Have you ever felt that before? Like something's not right. Something's not right. May I urge you, may I encourage you, when you feel that, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. That usually is the Spirit, because the Spirit knows everything. He cares about you. He cares about what's going on in your life. He cares about your family. And you may not know the details, but guess what? The Spirit does. And so you start praying. You start praying and let the Holy Spirit work it out. And so the 12 apostles tell everybody else, okay, choose 7. That was a common number that was used. You choose 7. You know that they are full of the Spirit and wisdom. So it's not a popularity contest, is it? It is a choice based on ability and the work of the Spirit and wisdom, because they're going to have to do it right. And the apostles say, we will give this responsibility over to them. We will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Okay, pause there just a minute. Let's look at words again. Look at this word. Sorry, I know I'm messing up the camera now. The ministry of the word. Look at this word. And then look at this word, wait on tables. Look at those two words, those two expressions. Some of you have different Bible translations. Some Bible translations say what instead? Serve tables, right? Depending on your translation. Look carefully at these two words. Guess what? Same word. Same word. They say, whether you're serving, whether you're ministering at table, or you're ministering the word, it's the same word. It's the same word. And that should encourage you this morning, depending on how you serve in the church. How do you serve in the church? How do you serve? God sees ministry and service in the same way. And God calls people in the same way, whether it is something, whether it's back in the tech booth, whether it's standing here, whether it's doing something else. It's the same. It's the same calling of God. And they say, we will turn this responsibility, we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So they say, we need to keep on doing this because this is what God has called us to do. Okay, the proposal pleased everybody. Great idea. They like it, right? So everybody, thousands and thousands of people, and they say, they please the whole group. Okay, look at the people they choose. They choose Stephen. Oh, we're going to find out about Stephen a whole bunch in the very next chapter. A man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch. Okay, I practiced those names. No, I've read that one a lot. I didn't have to practice that one. But there's something interesting here. Nicholas from Antioch is actually not Jewish. He's not Jewish at all. He was a Jewish convert. Went through Judaism and then believed in Jesus. And notice also when you look at... So there's something else that we look at here. So they chose Stephen. They highlight that, a man full of faith, because we're going to read about him in the very next chapter. But I want you to see something here about the work of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit in the church. Are you ready? These seven names are Greek names. They're not Hebrew names. They're not at all Hebrew names. They are Greek names. What does that mean? You're wondering, Pastor Jennifer, what are you getting at? Here's what I'm getting at. Here's what I'm getting at. When the Holy Spirit is working in his church, he is working towards unity. He's working so that our hearts are not selfish, but they're open to others. So here's the Holy Spirit working in this church. There's a problem between the Greek speaking and the Hebrew speaking. What would you and I do if we were doing it with our own wisdom? Come on, Keith, what would we do? We would choose half of them from the Greek speaking, right? Yes or no? Yes. Go ahead and say yes. That's what we do. We choose half from the Greek speaking and we choose half from the Hebrew speaking so that we can be fair, right? And then I don't know what you do about the person in the middle. Maybe they can be somewhere. I don't know. That's what we would do in our natural wisdom. The Holy Spirit leading his church doesn't do it that way. Look at what happens instead. They choose people 100% who are part of the Greek speaking. 100%. Those that said, we're being overlooked. Our widows are being overlooked. They're not getting as much food. And the church instead of saying, well, okay, we'll be fair, half Hebrews, half Jews, so that we get this thing straight, so that it's balanced. They don't do that. The work of the Spirit does this in their midst. With open hearts, they say, there's a problem here. We don't want to disturb or break the unity of the Spirit in the church. And what happens? Brothers and sisters, you who are of this group, you take charge of this. You handle this. What a work of the Spirit. I don't know if you've thought about that before or noticed that before. We'd absolutely do it differently. We'd divide it down the middle so it would be fair, right? That's not what they do. The Holy Spirit leads them to take all of the people from the Greek-speaking group here. You do it. You do it. And what happens? Are they selfish? No. Do they do it right? Yes. And the problem is taken care of. And the unity of the church is maintained and restored. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and then laid their hands on them. I don't know what your Bible translation says, but please look at this. Here's a good Bible pattern. This is not democracy. Sorry. There actually is not a lot of place for democracy in the church of God. Did you know that? That's not how it works in God's church. They said, we believe these seven are full of the Holy Spirit. and wisdom, and we present them to the apostles. What do the apostles do? Let us pray. God, in effect, God, is this you? Yes, God, it's you. And after they say, yes, God, this is you, then they lay hands on them. Okay, how does this end? And I'm going to end also with this last verse. I'm skipping the last two pages. We'll come to it at another time. Look at what happens when the Holy Spirit continues working and does what he intends to do in his church. Ready? Wonderful, wonderful verse. So, the preaching about God flourished. If this problem had divided the church, if this problem had not been dealt with, if this problem had descended into a wrestling match, a tug of war, there's this side, the word of God would have been hindered. That's why, brothers and sisters, unity in the church through the Holy Spirit working in us as we submit ourselves to him is so important. It's so important. It's not about personalities. We have different personalities. You probably think I'm too loud. I know you think Claire's too loud. Sorry. You know what I mean. I'm not talking about Claire. Or this person is so quiet. They barely say hello. What's wrong with them? We have all of these different things in the church. I'm making light, but I'm being really serious. The Holy Spirit works among us that he might also work through us. And when you and I resist within us what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in unity, the work of God and the work of the church and the building of the church will be hindered. It will be hindered. And so as they work with the Holy Spirit, so, don't miss that word, so the preaching of God flourished. The number of disciples increased rapidly, and not only that, a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in his church. The Holy Spirit and his church. Now there's much, much more. We're not going to look at it today. We're going to stop here for today. But what I felt like after I had prepared, because if you were to look at my notes, oh, I have all sorts of other notes as well. But as I was praying, I really felt what the Holy Spirit wanted us to give attention to today was his work in bringing us, in keeping us in unity and harmony. That's what he wants to do. And the best thing you and I can do in this area is to get alone with God and just say, God, search my heart. Holy Spirit, am I working in my attitude, in my words, in my outlook? Am I working with you in this area, or am I working against you in this area? Right? That's quite simple. That's very practical. That doesn't sound deeply spiritual for us this morning, but I believe this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit is doing. And I think as I come to a close, I think this area is especially important in this church because we are a very mixed group. We really are. We're a very mixed group. And as God is growing the church, we will become even more mixed, right? We have different cultures. We also have different ages that are coming into the church. And only the Holy Spirit, with much grace upon us, will keep us in harmony and unity, right? So that when we come together, we feel the love of God, even though we're very different. When we come together, I accept you and you accept me, even though I am very different from you and you are very, very different from me. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And where we find ourselves not thinking like that, not feeling like that, not acting like that, may the Holy Spirit help us as we choose to submit to him to bring us in unity and harmony. Amen? In the same way, as that group said, okay, we choose seven from the Greek-speaking ones. You settle this. We don't want there to be any division. You handle it. And they handled it because they were full of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in his church, and he's building the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this picture of the early church, but not just the early church. Lord, of your church. We thank you, Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, that you are in our midst, that you desire for much grace to be upon us, that you desire to work in power, that you desire that we, as your body, are of one heart and one mind. Holy Spirit, would you continue to work in our hearts and in our church, where we do not measure up, where we fall short, where we have pulled against you, we ask, Holy Spirit, we submit to you and to your work. Would you deal with our hearts, speak to us, bring us into line with you, so that we are in unity of one mind and one heart, so that your grace, much grace, mega grace is upon us, so that the word of God goes out in power. We thank you, God, that you are in the midst of your church and that this is your church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. If you're mad at me, come talk to me. Claire, do you need to talk to me? No, I didn't think so. Okay. We'll be right back.